In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us again for Word for Life Radio, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. My name is Jake Schnorr. I will be your host today. We're going through a study on having the right attitude, specifically having an attitude of gratitude. As we looked at our study last time, we noted the times in our life when we are to biblically show gratitude. Essentially, there is no time, as we discussed last time, there is no time in our life when we are not to be showing the gratitude and thanks that God deserves. Literally, every aspect, every avenue of our life is to show thanks and gratitude towards God, who is truly deserving. Then we jumped into our study. We covered just the first few verses of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, this section of scripture that details Jesus' encounter with 10 lepers. Now we covered just the first two verses, which talks about the city that Jesus went to. It talks about the characters that Jesus approached. But now we're going to learn about the cry of those people. And this cry that we see in verse 13 is very unique. Follow along as I read verse 13 in Luke chapter 17. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, I want you to notice a few elements of this cry that is not a normal cry of someone who is seeking Jesus. Notice that the first part says that the lepers did not doubt Jesus' ability to save them. I'll read it again. It says they lifted up their voice and they said, "Jesus, Master." That word "Master" is a very unique word, so much so that it is used only by Luke. Out of all the Gospels, it is only used by Luke and is always of the disciples referring to Jesus as Master. This word a lot of times delineates authority or an unusual amount of power. So these lepers recognize Jesus as having the sufficient authority and the sufficient power to perform the miracle necessary to heal them. So they didn't doubt his authority. They see him from afar off. They lift up their voice, which means that they exerted extreme effort so that everything that they could do lawfully, because the reason why they didn't just run up to him and grab a hold of him and not leave his side is because they were following the laws and the customs of the day, which were, if you had leprosy, you could not come within a certain distance of any other civilian, unless, of course, you already had leprosy, which is why there is a group of 10 people with leprosy that are traveling together. So a question for you right off the bat is, do you question Jesus's ability in your life? Do you question his authority in your life? Many times, people, believers especially, may question God's ability to work in their lives. In no area do we question him more than his ability to save loved ones. I can say personally that there are a number of family members and relatives that simply have rejected the gospel and have rejected Christ as their Savior. And over time, after repeated and repeated attempt to present the truth and praying for them earnestly, it may become discouraging to realize that God hasn't saved them yet and almost question, can God still save them? Perhaps if you are an unbeliever and you're listening right now, you may look at yourself, you may look at your life and think that God cannot save you. You may think that you have done too much or you have gone too far, and your deeds, if you will, when you add them up, will drastically outweigh any good that you've done. Can I encourage you that if you are thinking those thoughts, that you are exactly correct, that your bad deeds, if you will, completely outweigh your good, and you cannot save yourself. However, if you're questioning today, right now, if the sin that you've done outweighs the righteousness that Jesus has done, can I say you are exactly wrong? You couldn't be further from the reality of what Jesus truly is. He has the authority. These lepers who had never met Jesus before addressed him as their master, their authority. They would do anything that Jesus wanted if Jesus would simply heal them of their disease. And may I comment again that this disease is exactly equated to our sin. We are to cry out to Jesus as master that he might heal us from our sin because we can't do it. We cannot save ourselves from our sin, but Jesus Christ came to give his life as a ransom for many. So first of all, the lepers did not doubt his ability, but the lepers, we also see that they did not think that they deserved to be healed. Follow along again in verse 13, where it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Anything that happens to us in our lives ought to be considered God's mercy. Because if you are living today and you are breathing, you have air going through your lungs, your heart is beating, you are receiving God's mercy. The only thing that we deserve in life, as it says in Romans, for the wages of sin is what? It is death. The payment, the thing that you rightly deserve because you have sinned, is death, eternally being separated from God. So not only do we see mercy in our lives by just existing, but the Bible clearly portrays salvation in particular as God's mercy towards us. Titus chapter 3, I'd encourage you to turn there. Titus chapter 3 is a clear and most definitive explanation of what salvation is to us. And Paul wanted Titus to understand the steps of salvation, what it is incorporated with, and the most important details, the non-negotiables, if you will, about salvation. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, we have a very unique portion of scripture here. First of all, we understand that salvation is only God's mercy in verse 4. Follow along as I read. "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his what? Mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ghost, whom he poured on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Savior." So there we see clearly that mercy is what saves us in our lives. We are forgiven of our sin. We are cleansed and we are washed in the sight of God. The dirt, the filth that we accrued on our account is cleansed from us because of God's mercy. Now, as a side note, I want to add this, that mercy saves us. We see that in verse 4 of Titus chapter 3. Jump down to verse 7. We see that grace in our lives does something different. Grace is a beautiful word. Grace justifies us. Look at verse 7. It says that having been justified by his what? Grace. We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Without spending too much time on this portion of scripture, these are two non-negotiable aspects of salvation. If you have not received God's mercy, you have not been saved. However, if you have not received God's grace, if you will, the grace that leads to justification, you are not qualified for entering into heaven. What I mean is this. Mercy is what saves us from our sin. It cleanses our account. It's as if you have a negative balance in your checking account. Mercy is what erases that negative balance. However, if you want to make any purchases, then you need to have what? A positive account. You need to have a positive amount of money in your account that you might be able to make expenses. That's what justification is. It is making you right before God, adding the righteousness of Jesus to your account. So mercy saves, grace justifies. but every aspect of salvation is mercy. Turn back to Luke 17 as we continue on in our study. So realizing that just as these lepers were begging and pleading for Jesus to be merciful to cleanse them of their disease, so we must beg Jesus to cleanse us from our sin. In verse 14, we see our next segment, which is the cleansing of the people. Now, after the cry from the lepers, we see that they are genuinely cleansed. Verse 14 says, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." In order for a leper to be cleansed, he would need to show himself to the priest and then return 1 week later to prove that the disease had left him. The reason for this was simple. Oftentimes, they could cover up certain blemishes that could heal certain wounds, and they could make it seem temporarily that they were healed and cleansed. It was a normal practice that if they were truly healed, 1 week, they wouldn't relapse. But if it wasn't genuine, it would be as bad, if not worse, than the disease was before. But it's an important note that the lepers obeyed the words of Jesus before they were healed. Notice again, Jesus says, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, they didn't wait around to obey him. They didn't wait for a certain sign for Jesus to prove. They didn't wait for a certain signal. They simply, out of desperation, obeyed the words of Jesus. And through their obedience, they were healed. Can I ask you a question right now? Have you obeyed unconditionally the words of Jesus? Some of you, for the first time, have you obeyed unconditionally to follow Christ by confessing your sin, repenting from your sin, and receiving Christ as Savior? Have you received the message of salvation, which is the gospel, which is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures? Have you received that for the first time? For those of you who have you put conditions on obeying Christ in your walk with him daily? Do you put conditions on whether you will go to church or whether you will have devotions or whether you have a prayer life on a regular basis or whether you will witness, whether you will reach out to one of the coworkers? Do you put conditions on obeying Christ? My friends, as these lepers didn't put conditions on obeying Christ because they understood how desperate they were and how much they didn't deserve the mercy of Jesus. Well, that's about all the time we have today. Thank you again for tuning in today. Again, if you're interested in the study notes, you can contact us at wfl@brooksidebc.org. That is wfl@brooksidebc.org. We'd love to see you here at Brookside one of these Sundays or Wednesdays. Again, services are every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, as well as a youth group and Bible studies on Wednesday evening as well. Until next time, Lord bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.